Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
Tim, I want to talk Tinder is what I want to talk about right now. You and I haven't been on Tinder for many years.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Yes. I don't think we were even, I mean, I don't want to speak on your behalf. I don't think we were even on Tinder when, do you remember them having like a Tinder extra feature that you pay for?
Honestly, 20...
Like Tinder Plus or whatever it's called?
2016 was the last time I was on any dating apps, right? And I can't remember it.
No. So they call it Tinder Platinum now.
Wow.
And so
that's
basically,
better than Plus.
If you subscribe to the highest tier subscription, which starts at $39.99 a month.
What?
So expensive. Yeah. I was never going to pay that.
Get it, girl.
But if you do that, there are a whole bunch of new features that you can do to like kind of limit your search.
All right.
So that you can be much more specific with the things that you want out of a partner.
Sounds like realestate.com.au filters.
Yeah, you know, like, you know, 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom.
Are we using, is that like a, are you talking about 3 boobs? What are you talking, 2 bedrooms for me?
No, they said that you can actually pick the new feature. You can filter out potential matches under a certain height.
Oh, that's brutal. There's a height filter?
There's a height filter now.
Can you set it? It's like if you just want short kings.
Yes.
And queens.
You can set it to under or over.
So I could like give you a bracket. I want like, okay, I want someone between 165 and 190.
Yep.
I want to, or I could go, no, I want an Amazonian. I'm 184.
Over
I want,
2 meters
I
only.
I want someone who's 190 plus.
I mean, like a lot of people, this has like sparked mixed reactions. Some people saying this is brilliant. This is what we've been needing. Other people are saying, imagine if they had a weight filter or a race filter. Could you imagine the outrage?
That's absolutely
fair. You know, it doesn't matter. Most people will probably lie about their height anyway on these apps. So you're probably going to get filtered into one of those sections anyway.
I think you're a true pioneer of any size matters because you're before your husband, who's like 6'4" at the moment.
He's 6'4". Yes,
he's not
the
growing.
Moment. Currently, he's 6'4".
He's getting his P's next week. A lot of your previous partners were actually shorter than you.
All of my previous partners were shorter than me.
And you're a little.
Yeah.
You're a little fella.
I'm 164 centimetres. Little fella.
You're 20 centimetres shorter than me. That's why whenever there's photos of us online, it's your face and my chin. It keeps happening. happening.
They put me on a box next to Tim so that we can be the same height in the photo.
So you don't like the filter. You don't like their height.
Look, I feel like if you're paying $40 a month and putting a height filter on, there's probably a reason you're swiping on Tinder.
Oh, okay. Maybe it's like more of a swipe yourself.
Yeah, yeah, look within.
Because what, are you,
what am I doing here?
Is swiping, what was the way you wanted? Is it like swipe left?
Swipe right.
Swipe right. You like
them? Like a person. Right. Swipe left. No thanks.
Sometimes you need to swipe right on yourself.
That's so true, too.
You know?
That's so wise.
Thanks. Mad praise. Mad praise. Yeah, I guess I am pretty incredible. You're right.
Okay. And someone who is exactly 6 foot like yourself.
6 and a bit, remember? 6 foot's 183 and I'm 184. Playing height. Have I been measured at 184?
Is it still your
it's my Instagram bio,
Instagram
yes.
184 centimetres.
Radio announcer, game day host, 184 centimetres.
You haven't even put anything about the Tim and Jess show in there.
Radio announcer? It's implied.
Jess and Tim. Oh, wait, sorry. It's Tim and Jess.
Tim, I want to talk on 52232955 about something I've noticed since getting pregnant. People are very precious about this topic, and I didn't realize it was such a big deal until I started revealing something about my child to my closest friends and family. So my husband Akshay and I, we found out at just before 12 weeks what we were having. So we're having a little boy, and since then we've basically narrowed it down to about 2 or 3 names that we're really into. And so whenever anyone would ask like, oh, that's so exciting. You know, what are you having? I'm having a boy. I would just launch into, we've like narrowed it down to a couple of names and people go, whoa. Why? You can't tell anyone about the name. And I've never understood this. Like, I guess, like a lot of people are very precious about not sharing the name before the birth.
I tend to agree.
Really?
But it's from a protection point. I don't want someone to spoil a name that you like.
Yeah.
When you go, oh yeah, I really like Casey. And they go, oh, I went to school with a guy called Casey. He's a big booger. And his name's going to eat his boogers. And yeah, well, you call him Booger Casey. And you go,
see, great. I would rather someone ruin the name for me now than give that name to my child and they ruin it once I can't do anything about it.
Well, the thing is, no one will bring up that story after the fact.
Right.
And then you have ownership of that name. Like, that name's not tainted. Like, we didn't tell anybody the name that we did for our son, Jack.
Because you had narrowed it down as well.
Oh, like, we have these massive lists and all these things. But we knew it was going to be a boy. And there was a name where if you asked me a month or even 2 weeks before he was born what it would have been, it was different to what we ended up going with. We had the name Beckett. Locked.
Right.
Absolutely locked.
Beckett Bolch is strong.
Little Beck. That is strong. Something like that. We really liked it. And then when he was born, we didn't name him for a day or two. We were just like, let's just see. There's a few names. And we landed on Jack. But it's more for a protection, I think. I think it's just because you don't want people to ruin it for you. Because baby.
I was telling you the other day that Akshay's family, my husband's family, really like one of the names. And then my family really like the other. And so
What was my suggestion?
Why did you tell them?
No. And I said, give them both the bird and say, this isn't your baby. This is my baby. One for you, one for you. Both sides of the family. Neither of you get a say.
I never knew how precious people were about this until I was pregnant myself. And now everyone, man and his dog is like, why are you talking about the name? Shush.
Imagine if you had like one name and you're like, yes, we know it's going to be Casey. I'll use that name again. We know it's going to be Casey. And then someone does ruin your one and only option you had. You will feel so flat. You will feel so flat about it.
It's true. But on the other end, like friends of ours who just had their baby, they had their baby name taken a week before they gave birth.
I think you just got to be brave and also name it.
Just power through.
Yep. Be like, well, there's two Becketts now in the family. We committed to it.
Well, 52232955. Do you reveal your baby name before you give birth? Is this a big no-no? Or is it totally okay? Because I feel like I've been telling everyone. I mean, I probably wouldn't announce the names on the air just yet. But I might even do that close to
you. I think that's the filter. If you're not going to put it on air, like you wouldn't swear and you wouldn't say your baby's name on air before it was born. There should be codes and practices for both of those things.
Well, Taylor from Kerr Lewis, you did keep your baby name a secret for most people.
Yes, I did. I was one of those people that was quite scared that my baby name was going to be stolen because it's different. And I only told my very trusted people that I knew weren't having babies anytime soon. Just so I could get those personalised items done for my baby shower.
Oh,
and then that's sort of how I introduced him as well with their personalised items.
Nice.
Very cute.
I think you're right. If it's like a family member or a friend, a very close friend, I think, it can be a conversation. The only people I think my wife and I spoke to were my sister and her husband because they had a baby the week before our son. And it was like,
oh, and you were like, don't do these names.
We just showed each other the lists and we were like, we're not going to say which one's leading.
Did you have any?
There was one crossover. Oh. Neither of us picked it.
Nice.
So, but it was like, okay, well, we don't want to do this to each other.
Yeah.
This is a very specific thing.
What name did you end up going with, Taylor?
His name is River with an A-H, not an E-R.
Ooh.
And very cute.
Middle names are Mark Rip. RIPP Tenson.
My word.
Love it.
That is a strong name.
Call up for Spell My Name next week. There you go, Taylor. We absolutely love that. Sam in Hamlin Heights, how do you feel about telling people the name you want to give your baby before the baby's born?
Well, when my son was born, we had a list and we had like two names pretty much picked out, and that was Phoenix or Griffin. And I was like, yeah, that'd be really nice. And we shared it. But there was no problem with it because at the end of the day, it was the child that we wanted to name, not what anyone else has thought about it. And then basically when he was born, it was like, wait, he doesn't look like a griffin.
This is the panic, Sam, because like we're so narrowed down and we've even been calling our baby by these names just to try them out.
I'll say this. the love for your child doesn't matter about what name you call him at that moment.
Oh,
the basic fact was that for 2 days he had no name, and then I was just sitting there looking at him, and I went, and then the thought popped in my head, Caleb. I went, perfect.
Cute.
So I put Caleb and Phoenix together, and he's Caleb Phoenix.
There we go.
Very cute.
Love that, Sam.
Yeah, it's done. You don't have to stress about it. I mean, I get that people stress about it, but at the end of the day, it's. I mean, I believe also in the soul, so that also comes into a whole heap of it as well.
There we go.
This is the hard thing. You want to, you know, I've been feeling a lot of pressure because you're like, you want to give him a name that sounds good as a kid, well into adulthood, you know, like.
Can I just offer a thought?
Yeah.
Might you be overthinking this?
This is the biggest decision I'm ever going to have to make.
You've said that 50 times since I've met you, so. It's actually true this time, but those other 49 don't count anymore.
Tim and Jess, the podcast.
Yesterday we spoke about something quite interesting. There had been multiple reports along Little Mallop Street in the Geelong CBD near Market Square that there had been genuine sounds of a rooster. Cock-a-doodle-doo.
We said that we weren't going to talk about this because...
I know. No, no, because we
our
got
lives were at risk.
We got, we got a message from someone, and they were like, "Look, you're barking up the wrong tree. Stop talking about this. It's bigger than you think. It's not just a rooster cock-a-doodle doing in the middle of the night or at early in the morning. Back away." We read that message out. Turns out that was not the right thing to do. But people are going, "I haven't seen a rooster. I haven't done anything."
Have people still been hearing it?
I'm not sure, but I've received more correspondence from this anonymous source, and I would like to read it out.
Okay.
Okay. I asked you, begged you, stop clucking talking about it. But no, you couldn't help yourselves. You had to peck at it. You had to egg each other on, and now it's no longer just a sound.
Oh.
The rooster's call. It's everywhere. Down alleyways, in elevator shaft. Once, terrifyingly, from a Woolworths freezer.
What?
And it's not crowing at dawn anymore. It's crowing when you're alone.
Is this an ad for Red Rooster? Like, their tagline is, "The rooster is calling."
Some of you are treating this like a big joke, but you don't understand. This isn't a game of chicken. We lost the moment we started playing.
What do you mean?
This is scary.
Is this like the game? Like, if you think about the game, you've lost the game.
I don't know. But
like,
here,
we've all lost the
game.
There's
a few theories that are floating around, this person said. Some say it's an acoustic weapon cooked up by Deakin researchers that escaped the lab.
What?
Others think it's tied to an old Bellarine ritual, something to do with the Watcher at first light.
What are you talking about?
My neighbour thinks it's the ghost of a condemned poultry truck doomed to circle the CBD forever. Honestly, it's the least terrifying one. And maybe, just maybe, it isn't a rooster. Just something with feathers that wants you to come closer, to get curious, to follow it down some shadowy lane behind Clothes Cafe and cross the road. Like a good rooster would do, I guess. Why? To see what's on the other side.
Oh, my God. Tim, this can't be real.
You think I'm cracking? Maybe I am. But you know what they say? When the rooster crows three times, it's already too late. You've been warned again. Stay safe, stay indoors, and whatever you do, don't answer if it crows your name.
Okay.
From a friend.
Bring it on.
Why? There was just so many examples. There was so many examples.
I'm starting to think that this is all hooey.
I really like that. I'm starting to believe that it is the ghost of a condemned poultry truck just circling the CBD in the middle of the night.
You lost me at Woolworths because there's no Woolworths in the CBD.
Well, no, that's how far spread this is.
Oh, I see.
There's a couple of food works.
That's the same thing.
It's real. And sure. I'm scared, and you should be too.
Okay.
So, but who knows? We might get more correspondence tomorrow from this friend who wants our best interest. You've got
to
admit.
I don't believe they want our best interest, Tim.
I don't know.
They're giving us all the information to follow this rooster. I'm going to go for a walk up Little Mallop, and I'm going to try and see if I can hear a rooster.
That's the most unbelievable thing that's been said in the last 5 minutes.
This is Tim and Jess.
So, Tim, the house hunting is continuing for myself and my husband. We thought it might be nice to buy a place before the baby came along to, you know, be able to move in. Be settled.
Sorry, that sentence is wild.
Right?
We thought it'd be nice to buy a house.
Crazy, right? Who are these crazy kids?
We are in. I thought about buying milk this week. And I passed.
Too much.
Yes. I was like, no, that'd be ludicrous. But anyway, no, it's exciting. I've never dabbled, but I've heard it's a lot.
Oh, I'm starting to think that maybe we should just stick with renting because it is tough out there. And we've looked at so many houses right now, and it's just like, some of the places we look at don't have a pantry or they don't have a bathtub. It's just like these simple things that you're like, why wouldn't you put these things in a house?
Bathtub's la-di-da for me.
Do you think so?
100%, like 1920, essential.
I felt like I needed one with a kid, right?
Oh, well, I know that, yes, you might think that, but people get around it. You can have these little shower baths. Like for the first few months, we had this little bath insert, baby bath, mm-hmm. that we put on the kitchen sink.
Right.
We would just bath him up there. Or you put him in the laundry
sink. And we still bath him in the kitchen sink.
No, we've upgraded to a hose in the backyard.
Nice.
With suds.
Oh, so fancy. So,
it does get nice.
Well, look, we've been looking for so long now that now we just kind of send each other different houses and we go, no, no, veto, no. We don't even bother going to look at them because we've looked at the listing.
Yeah, it's time consuming.
100%. And so my husband sent one through yesterday and immediately I was like, ooh. This one's a little bit quirky. It's like all the rooms are weirdly proportioned. Some are quite large and then others are quite small.
I guess you would have your bare minimum, a prerequisite. You go, all right, well, if we need three bedrooms, we want this, we want that.
We have our list of non-negotiables and then we have our list of must, would be nice.
Yeah.
And on the would be nice list, my husband's always put a sauna. And I said to him, lower your expectation. We haven't got sauna money, all right? Put that on the would-be-nice list.
Yeah.
I don't think we're ever going to find a house that has a built-in sauna.
Yeah.
Until yesterday, he sent me a link.
No way.
This house, seemingly in our price range, magically.
Right.
Has everything on our need-to-have list.
Okay.
And then, randomly, off the side of the laundry, built-in sauna.
Can I ask, what might seem like a stupid question?
Please.
Is it just a sauna?
What do you mean?
Is there no house? He's just sent you. Is he? Have you checked enough?
There's definitely a house around that. Right. So it's like they've
built
taken
into the house, not off the house, into the house.
Into the house. So that again, we've been referring to it as the quirky house because it's like around a corner. And so where you would go, I imagine it used to just be one big kind of bathroom laundry.
Okay.
And they've split it into bathroom laundry and then the door off the bathroom has this sauna and it's got two seats, two little bench seats.
Yeah.
So you could probably fit maybe two, three people if you want to have a cuddle.
How often in your household are you wanting to go to the sauna?
My husband loves the sauna. When he can access
I've known him for a long time. He's just never, I don't even know.
Oh, he loves talking about saunas. Have you never discussed a sauna with him?
Mostly it's Lord of the Rings for us.
He's always wanted to have a sauna in the house. And I was like, you will use this for a total of two times.
Yeah.
Realize it's too hard to clean. And then randomly we're going to have this weird sauna room in our house.
It'll be storage.
That we never touch.
Hot storage. That's
hot
what it'll
storage.
Be. I mean, I think that's so fun. But
he was like, imagine it's magically doesn't go over our price
range. It's one of those things where it's it's not going to make your life easier.
No.
It's definitely quirky,
mm-hmm.
but
if you ask him, it will make his life easier.
I just think as well that you'll look at it as different meterage. You'll be like, look at this wasted space. It could have been storage. It could have been something, but it's a bloody sauna.
What is the sauna of your house, right? Your dream house. It's not a must have, but it would be a nice to have. What would that be for you?
Sky wheel.
What do you mean?
Just having a sky wheel. The specific sky wheel from the waterfront. That'd be nice. Good views.
In the backyard.
Yeah, in the backyard.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I haven't on the filter that I have on mine, it doesn't pop up ever.
That's fair. Yeah.
Except for when the sky wheel was up for sale. Then finally it popped, but no house. So well, good luck and happy saunering. You're gonna have a very warm storage.
Oh, let's be honest, facility. It's gonna end up going way above our price range anyway, but it's nice to dream. And I'll let my husband dream for the next couple of weeks.
You can dream in a hot room.
This is Tim and Jess.
Ava from the newsroom has stuck around because you've asked her to.
Yes. Ava, I wanted to have another female in the room because a study's been done that suggests most women prefer men with feminine features. Oh,
if my little sister was hearing this right now, the number of times she's made fun of me.
Oh,
for
really?
My taste in men.
Oh my God. See, I never met your ex-partner. Mm. So I don't know what your taste is.
He was the exception to the rule.
Okay,
actually.
Right. So what is your taste?
I don't know. My sister's probably, it's probably something I shouldn't say on air. My sister's not very nice about it, but she just says that it's very, yeah, very feminine men.
Oh, right. So, okay. All
so
right.
You like a Timothy Chalamet.
Oh, big time.
A Tom Holland.
Yeah.
Yeah. Harry Styles.
What's a Henry Cavill doing for you?
Well, not my. Hot. Oh, sorry. That's a different topic. Don't get me started on that.
Oh, okay.
Well, this study did say there was a whole bunch of 1,500 participants from across Japan and the UK, and participants were shown two images of the same face had been digitally altered to present more masculine or more feminine features, and they were asked which they preferred, and every time they went for the more feminine features.
Wow.
Which is bizarre to me. She said, judgments of people's attractiveness have important consequences. Attractiveness, of course, influences behavior in sexual or romantic context, but also how people are perceived more generally.
Why is it bizarre to you?
Because I love a like manly, masculine man.
Yeah, but we've also had dozens of encounters where you're the one outlier.
That's so true.
General rule of things. People were like, we're all going left. And you'd be like, I'm thinking about right, yeah. Guys. I don't know about you, but right looks pretty okay. So, but this is the thing. I'm glad Ava was in here. So, and I think it's good. I think it's an opportunity for like toxic masculinity or the masculinity that is maybe thrust upon a lot of young men,
sure.
Young boys across Geelong, Surf Coast, and Bellarine, and right around the country. I think it's can be intimidating, especially when Hollywood makes you think that men look like Henry Cavill and Hugh Jackman,
yeah.
When they actually have dietitians, mm-hmm. nutritionists, people that they're paid to work out to look like that. But your brain goes, well, that's what I think people want.
I think we're entering a new era. I think it's the Timothy Chalamet,
yep.
The Tom Holland era of Hollywood.
Big time. And I'm all for it. Guys, I'm all for it.
I love learning, like, week by week, we just learn something more about
chipping
Ava.
Chipping away at her personality, aren't we?
Chipping away a little soft butter Ava. This is good.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Yeah, I know. You hate this.
Guys,
but
this is embarrassing.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, you're fine.
Come on. Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best. Good buddy. That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.